Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation is with Melissa Allen, Assistant Secretary for Administration at the U.S. Department of Transportation. Melissa, one of your major responsibilities over the last 7 years has been One DOT. Can you tell us about One DOT?
One DOT is an outgrowth of some of that 30-year history that I talked about the Department of Transportation. Over the years, there have been several organizational proposals for changing the way we're structured. We seem to be structured on transit administration or the highway administration or specific responsibilities. And there's a growing recognition, not just in this administration, but in prior administrations, that in fact, those things are linked. You can't get to Reagan National Airport efficiently unless you have good roadways or good transit systems or whatever to get there. When this secretary, Secretary Slater, was sworn in February 1997, he challenged the leadership of the department, the senior political leadership, to think not about reorganization, but to think about a way of working better together, to think about transportation as a system rather than transportation as several sets of operating administrations. And we like to talk about One DOT as the place where any two systems intersect, then there ought to be collaboration and cooperation between and among both the DOT employees, but also our constituents in coming up with a solution. And the examples are things like the Reagan National Airport. Getting transit to Reagan National Airport is a systems type of response rather than just a transit response or just an airport type of response. What we've done is attempt to get employees to understand, and the framework question that I ask employees to think about is, if I am undertaking X project, who else in DOT knows something about it, could contribute to it, has a vested interest in it, or might help me get this project done? And if I'm a transit employee and I need help from a safety engineer who works for the Motor Carrier Safety Administration, I ought to be able to reach over and ask for that assistance. Or if I work in the Coast Guard and I'm dealing with oil spills on water, who else has to deal with that type of issue, and I should collaborate with them. So what we've tried to do is to change the way we work, not the way we're organized. Forget moving boxes around and things like that. Create these intermodal teams. The other thing that we've done is that we've attempted, and I can't say we're totally successful, but I think we're getting there, to empower the employee who's in charge of a project to make those connections. They don't have to go up the bureaucracy and back down the bureaucracy to get the connection made. They can, in fact, pick up the phone and call a fellow worker and say, I need your help on this. We've reinforced it by expanding the number of people that we call senior leaders in the department. I think I referenced earlier the secretary's senior leadership team as being sort of the top 20 people. And that still is true, but we have followed a model espoused by John Cotter up at the Harvard Business School that is a transformation of organization model. And one of the things that he says is important that we've attempted to do is to, quote, expand your guiding coalition. So, for example, 2 years ago, we began to have leadership conferences where it was not only the political appointees and one or two career people, but now if there are 200 people at a conference, 120 to 150 of them are career people and 50 of them are political leaders. And we talk about leadership issues and we talk about issues of working together and what systems in the department keep us from working together. And some of them are very basic systems. Some of them are systems like the way we formulate budgets. Our budgets are presented in the modal lines. So there's a highway budget and there's a transit budget. But if we have collaborative projects, shouldn't we in fact collaborate on how we formulate that budget? And we're starting to change that. The presentation's still the same, but the talking before the budget decisions are made is entirely different. Communications is another example. Like many organizations, we're just learning how to really use email effectively in the intranet and in the internet. And we are trying to encourage employees to talk across lines. And finally, the other thing that we've done that I think is very significant is that we have establish things that we call flagships. You can give them any name you want, but they were high priority projects that we agreed, those 200 people that are going to these conferences, are important enough to the American people that we need to get them done. We've put career people, normally at the GS-15 level, in charge of those projects, and those career people report to the secretary and his immediate team of 20 people, and they are empowered to create action plans, request budgets, work across organizational lines, and report successes and plead for help when they need assistance. And it's made a large difference. People are beginning to reach out.
You indicated that communication was important. I'm sure training was important, too. What type of training is offered for employees related to One DOT?
We had at the very beginning of this, we had a course that was known as Partnering for Excellence that was basically learning how to work across organizational lines and how to collaborate and share assignments. We also have had now 7 of these leadership conferences where we've invited speakers from the private sector to come in and talk to us about the leadership challenges that they face. What does a General Electric face as a leadership challenge? What does an IBM, a Kmart, a Walmart, Home Depot, you know, whoever it is out there, what is it that they have faced as a leadership challenge that we can learn from them? And we take that back to all the other 100,000 employees and say, these are sort of the kernels of information that we've gathered, and we share that on our internet site.
What have you learned about large-scale organizational transformation from One DOT?
That it takes an awful long time. And I think that probably goes without saying. It also takes a great deal of dedication on the part of the most senior people to keep it going. And if you sort of lose sight of it for any period of time, I think that it can, that people don't believe that you're really serious about it. So one of the ways we've reinforced that is that the secretary, every Thursday, meeting with his senior political appointees, talks about One DOT. That is all we do. We deal with what's going on in different projects or what's going on in the systems changes. How are we doing as a department in terms of the change? How would we measure our successes and where are our failures and what do we need to improve them? And it's that concentrated attention that is making progress. But we can't stop here because if we do, it'll just all fall apart, I think.
What are some of the chief challenges associated with One DOT?
Probably the biggest challenge is the question of reward. If I work in an organization, and I'm not picking on them, but say the Federal Transit Administration, and I work for a boss who works in the Federal Transit Administration, his reward or his expectations of me are one thing that may or may not support my working with somebody in the Federal Highway Administration to accomplish something. So employees are torn loyalties is too strong, but basically has some torn loyalties as to where their primary allegiance is. The other big challenge, I think, is to recognize that large parts of the department will never be One DOT. I like to use the example of, I don't want an air traffic controller controlling traffic in Chicago to worry about the transit connections to the Chicago O'Hare Airport. That's not their responsibility. They're to do something that is purely their responsibility. They don't need to be concerned about the other issues of One DOT.
What's the employee's perception of One DOT?
I think, from my perspective, in talking to employees, and I have to posit that the jury is still out. People who have participated in projects, who've seen successful collaboration, who've seen the rewards come their way, are true believers. People who have not yet seen something actually happen or whose projects have been defeated along the line, you know, they didn't get the funding, they can't get the attention that they need or whatever, remain very skeptical about it. On the other hand, most employees do seem to recognize that you can no longer just talk about their particular function, that they do have to be aware of what else is going on in the department.
One of the interesting things I read about One DOT was the role of regional champions. Could you tell us about who they are and what they do?
Sure. DOT does not have, at the DOT level, regional directors or regional organizations. We have them at each one of the modal levels. So in the Chicago region, there's an FAA regional director, and there's a Federal Railroad regional director, and a Coast Guard, et cetera. The concept of a champion was to ask the teams of regional directors in any regional city to come together on issues that were of concern to them, and then to assign to them some member of the senior leadership who has no responsibility for them to help them break down bureaucratic barriers.
It's time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour.